भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 3, Text Number 16? I'm sorry? 16, okay. Text Number 16. So with Savas's permission, we'd like to be able to just cover the verse and the purport and then discuss a little bit or share a little bit with the devotees the recent preaching efforts, outreach efforts of the Utah and Las Vegas devotees that we went to visit this weekend. They had a very interesting effort, I would say, momentous effort on their part, the devotees in Utah and Las Vegas. So text number 16. Gunarani Chana Chid Usmapaya Tat Shobha Vispurjita Manashaya Naishkarmya Bhavena Vivarjita Gama Sayam Prakashaya Namas Karomi Gunarani chana chid usmapaya. Well, let's get a better melody. Gunarani chana chid usmapaya. Takshoba vispurjita manashaya. Takshobha Vishpurjita Manashaya Naishkarmya Bhavena Vivarjita Gama Naishkarmya Bhavena Vivarjita Gama Swayam Prakashaya Namaskaromi Swayam Prakashaya Namaskaromi Gunarani Chana Chaduspamaya Takshobha Vishpurjita Manashaya Naishkarmya Bhavena Vivarjita Gama Swayam Prakashaya Namaskaromi. Puranis Chana Chaduspamapaya Karmya Bhavin Vivarjita Gama Swayam Prakashaya Namaskaromi Anidyasthana Chaduspamaya. Ladies. Gunaranishchana Chaduspamaya Takshobha Vispurjita Manashaya Naiskamya Bhavena Vivarjita Gama Swayam Prakashaya Namaskaromi Gunaranishchana Chaduspamaya Takshobha Vispurjita Manashaya Aishkamya Bhavena Vivarjita Gama Swayam Prakashaya Namaskaromi Guna. By the three gunas, the modes of material nature, sattva, rajas, and tamas. Arani, by arani wood. Chana, covered. Chit, of knowledge. Usmapaya, onto he whose fire. Takshobha, by the agitation of the modes of material nature. Vispurjita, outside. Manasaya, onto he whose mind. Naiskaramya bhavena, because of the stage of spiritual understanding. Vivarjita, in those who give up. Agama, Vedic principles. Swayam, personally. Prakashaya, onto he who is manifest. Namakaromi, I offer my respectful obeisances. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. My Lord, as the fire in Arani wood is covered, you and your unlimited knowledge are covered by the material modes of nature. Your mind, however, is not attentive to the activities of the modes of nature. Those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge are not subject to the regulative principles described in the Vedic literatures. Because such advanced souls are transcendental, you personally appear in their pure minds. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please repeat. My Lord, as the fire in Arani wood is covered, you and your unlimited knowledge are covered by the material modes of nature. Your mind, however, is not attentive to the activities of the modes of material nature. Those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge are not subject to the regulative principles directed in the Vedic literatures. Because such advanced souls are transcendental, you personally appear in their pure minds. Therefore, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Report. In Bhagavad Gita 10:11, it is said, Tesham Ivanukam Partam Ahama Jnana Jantama Nashamyatma Bhavashto Jnanatapena Bhashvata. For a devotee who has taken to the lotus feet of the Lord within his heart, the Lord gives spiritual enlightenment known as Jnanadipa by special mercy from within. This Jnanadipa is compared to the fire hidden within Arani wood. To perform fire sacrifices, great sages previously did not ignite a fire directly. The fire would be invoked from Arani wood. Similarly, all living entities are covered by the modes of material nature. and the fire of knowledge can be ignited only by the Supreme Personality of Godhead when one takes him within one's heart. Savai Mana Krishna Badaravindayo. If one takes seriously the lotus feet of Krishna, who is seated within one's heart, the Lord eradicates all ignorance. By the torch of knowledge, one immediately understands everything properly by the special mercy of the Supreme Lord and becomes self-realized. In other words, although a devotee may externally not be very well educated, because of his devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives him enlightenment from within. If the Lord gives enlightenment from within, how can one be in ignorance? Therefore, the allegation of the Mayavadis that the devotional path is for the unintelligent or uneducated is untrue. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvayagunaiste tatra samasate sura. That's Bhagavatam 5.18.12. If one becomes an unalloyed devotee of the Supreme Lord, he automatically manifests all good qualities. Such a devotee is above the instructions of the Vedas. He is a Paramahansa. Even without going through the Vedic literature, a devotee becomes pure and enlightened by the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, my Lord, the devotee says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Om Agyanitam Irandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Vitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Guru Divajalam Pangam Langaya Tegirim Irkibitam Ambande Sri Gurum Dina Tharanam. Well, this is a very appropriate verse for the age of Kali, because we're living in an age where so many of us, I can speak for myself, are not qualified or very well educated, but certainly by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can become qualified, just as Prabhupada gives the example of, or the example is given in the verse here of Arani Wood, how in previous ages, the sages, the priestly class would, by their mantras, be able to bring the element of fire out of wood. Not that they had to use some big lighter. In order to get things going. But simply by their purity, they would be able to draw that element out and their fire sacrifices would begin. They were able to invoke from that Arani wood. So similarly, the living entities are covered by the modes of nature, as Prabhupada points out here, and the fire of knowledge can be ignited by the Personality of Godhead when one takes the Lord within his heart. By whatever means. Yesterday I was listening to a very nice lecture. Srila Prabhupada was talking and discussing with some devotees about distributing prasadam. And the devotees were asking, should we cook this? Should we cook that? And Prabhupada said, by whatever they're attracted to. Whatever they're attracted to, you should prepare for them. So, by whatever means, we've heard this comment, utility is a principle. So sometimes you have to use whatever utility may be at hand to invoke that hidden fire of Krishna consciousness within a living being. Because it's always there, as Prabhupada points out here, and Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, Mayangsa Jiva Loke, the living entities are part and parcel of him, so they're eternally related. But it's just a matter of igniting that fire of knowledge by Krishna consciousness, by instilling with them, or at least giving them the opportunity to hear about Krishna, or to associate with the devotees of the Lord. And such persons, even though they may be most unqualified, can be qualified. Even they may not have any good qualities. Sarvai gunasta samasate suda. The fact is that those who are devotees of the Lord, they do develop all good qualities, but it's just a matter of association. It's a matter of time. But in due course, even the most unqualified persons, the Bhagavatam gives the wonderful verse, Kirata Huninda Pulinda Pulkasha, Ambira Shamba Javana Kashadaya. There's so many classes of individuals. Some are civilized, some are not at all civilized. But whatever their case is, simply Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishna Venama, simply by the association of the mercy of the devotees of the Lord, if they're just given a little opportunity, something happens, that hidden spark of Krishna consciousness, that hidden fire of Krishna consciousness becomes invoked, and they become all of a sudden very qualified and very attractive, and all good qualities manifest in their person. So it's just a matter of time. Srila Prabhupada also comments here in the purport that, or at least in the verse it's described, that those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge are not subject to the regulative principles directed in the Vedas, Vedic literature. So some may question, well, is that a license for one to do whatever one likes to do under the guise of being a devotee? Because I have tilak, or I have a dhoti, or because I know something I can repeat in some way, is that an excuse for me to engage in whatever acts, or whatever even some nonsense? No, it's not an excuse, because the devotees of the Lord still, by their example, they're abstaining, they're living a proper example. Just like sometimes you always hear this comment, how some famous person, athlete usually, they enjoy all of the glorification, and they're paid millions of dollars for jumping up and down, or running, or bumping into each other like animals. They enjoy that glorification, but when the headline reads that so and so star, he's caught doing this, or he's arrested, they show a picture of him looking like some bum off the street, intoxicated, arrested for doing something. Their first comment is, "Well, my thinking is that not that I'm a role model, but that's an easy out." It's not that we accept some position and then we're not subject to criticism, or we're not subject to some critique. One always has to keep that example, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, yad yad acharati shrestas. So the devotees of the Lord are always conscious of that, They're developing these qualities. They're natural qualities. They're not artificial. And so their example is always exemplary. Even though they may not be subject to the regulative principles as directed in the Vedic literatures, because they're still, the example is there, just like Lord Krishna himself, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and so many of the other appearances of the Lord, the example is always there, although they're transcendentally situated. So also the devotees also have to be of exemplary character. And Krishna, within the heart, gives that enlightenment. Jnanatapena Bhashvata. Krishna within the heart gives that knowledge within the heart of the devotee, how to live the perfect example, but also how to engage others in the perfect way. So this past weekend, if there's no questions, we'll get right into this wonderful experience we had. And if Sirdas wants to have a mic and make a comment, he's welcome. We had a very nice opportunity of going to Salt Lake City this recent, these last couple of days. And actually, this verse is very appropriate. We had the opportunity of going to the Holi Festival, the Festival of Colors there in Spanish Fork. And Spanish Fork, keep in mind, is just some little, teeny little town in a very beautiful little valley surrounded by mountains. It's on a little hill, the temple is. And it's in sort of a rural area. There's a lot of ranches where they have cows and horses. And in the middle of it, on a hill, there's this beautiful temple that Charu Prabhu has built, and which you can see from the highway. And when you go there, it's not very, it's unassuming, but it's a very beautiful little piece of property that he's developed into a very nice preaching field and scene. So at least this time it was a little bit drier. Last time I went a couple years ago, it snowed. And then the next day, though, it melted, but it was a sloppy mess. This time it was a bit drier. So we were given a very nice place to stay by Charu Prabhu, right next to the llamas, surrounded by peacocks. You could hear them all day. They're running around the property and cooing. And the program starts about 10 a.m., so the devotees were, at first, actually, there weren't too many. Well, actually, on Saturday, it was a little bit more, the weather was nicer. So people were showing up, and they were very, you could see how devoted they were. They must have been veterans, or somebody told them what was going on, because they'd all come in with their white T-shirts and white, some white pants. Some people even had white overalls from top to bottom. Some people had masks. Others had gas masks. It was like they were coming in for some real event. So just very nicely and quietly, people were just filing in, and pretty soon it was filling up. More and more people are coming, more and more people are coming. And very unassuming. You'd think that, well, it's where are people going to be coming from to this little place out in the middle of nowhere? But all of a sudden, the place fills up, and there were, on Saturday, some 35,000 people. And they're filing through, they're circling all around, and then people start throwing colors, these cornstarch dyes, which weren't toxic, but you could understand why people had masks, and because there was dust all over the place, and it was, at least for me anyway, just from my perspective, it was the largest outreach to a general public that I've ever seen in the West. India is a different story, of course, because you're dealing with a culture which is more natural to the audience. But you're dealing with people who are of a Mormon tradition or no tradition, and they're coming out of the blue, and there's tens of thousands of people. Everyone is, they're engaged in devotional service immediately right off the bat, right? They have to pay $3 to get in. So immediately they're engaged in some kind of seva. Of course, you can look at it in a different way and see it as just a business. But in my mind, it was the most incredible outreach to a general public I've ever seen in my life, and it was just incredible. Thousands of people coming in; they're very orderly. There's no intoxication. People are just coming in straight in from right. As soon as they get in the gate, they go straight up and get their colors, and they start throwing it all over the place. And the devotees happen to have a book booth. And a short distance from the book booth was another a little gazebo platform. And there were a couple of us there. And people would just circle throughout the whole site. And on the hour, they would have a countdown, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And then all of a sudden, everybody would start throwing all sorts of colors all over the place. And you just have to see it. It's a rainbow of colors, and it's so thick that you can't even see. Especially down in the center area where the main stage is. The temple is on a hill, right? And then down from the temple, there's the main stage. This year it was dry, but previous years it was wet, so people would slide down to get to the stage. They'd go head first or whatever, feet first, and they'd be sliding down this hill. And everybody would go down to the stage, and they would... And there were different artists, performers. They had a big Hare Krishna sign there, and whoever was up on the stage, they would be engaging the crowd in some kind of Hare Krishna chanting. Granted, it was amplified rock Hare Krishna. But you can just imagine all these young people, they're dancing up and down, ecstatically. I went down there a couple of times, and I was just watching them, and I took pictures of them, and they were just jumping up and down and throwing colors and chanting Hare Krishna along with whoever was up on the stage. And then you go up, and there you see them eating prasadam that was prepared by the temple, so everyone's buying some prasadam. There are the devotees in the corner there. They're distributing books. I think yesterday there were some four devotees up on the in the book booth. Brigupati, Sachitanoy Prabhu's here, and Eric and Prem Sankirtan. They distributed, what was it, over 1,000 books on Saturday?
I thought it was 2,000 books.
on 2,000 books on Saturday.
Nakata himself on the question and answer booth.
That was funny. It was just a question booth. I was supposed to be in the question and answer booth.
Did 6 cases of Bhagavad Gita soft and 3 cases of SSR soft. Almost, how many is that? 270 books to inquiring people.
People were just filing by, and I was supposed to be question and answer. It was hilarious. That was a joke. I would just tell people, hey, I've got questions if you got answers. And, you know, people would stop. There was another devotee here there with me. His name was Jorge, who's from Las Vegas. He was a very nice young man. He would come and go, and we would just start talking, just some light Krishna-conscious conversation, and people would come up, and I had the mic all the while, so they could hear what we were talking about. And people would, what are you guys doing out here anyway? Well, what do you got there? And we'd give them a Bhagavad Gita, and they take a book, and can we take a picture with you guys, and can we give you a hug? And it was really, it's just incredible. So that's why in my mind it was the most ecstatic outreach effort by just a few devotees. It's true, and his wife basically. And the woofers, right? The woofers are different people, young people, different aged people, who would, for room and board, they come and volunteer their work, their time. So they're taking care of the setup, they're taking care of feeding the llamas, or they're cleaning, or they're setting up, or they're cleaning, or they're helping in the kitchen, or they're helping with the stage, or they're clean. Different woofers were walking around the place with bags, picking up all of the garbage from the dye bags. And it was just an incredible event. I spoke to Chiru afterwards, and I asked him, were there any problems or incidents? Because you figure when there's 35, between the 2 days, 35 to 45,000 people, there's bound to be some trouble, right? Typically, you find that in a lot of places. And he said, well, they had one incident. The police told this one guy, don't do it. But he did it anyway. He threw dye on the policeman. So they took him to jail. So they had one incident throughout the whole day. And it's not that people come in intoxicated or they're acting, stupid. They're very respectful. I didn't hear one negative comment from the thousands of people who were circling. They were just there enjoying the whole affair. Parents with their little kids. On average, I think the at least from what I saw, I think the average age was somewhere around 18 in that neighborhood. There were parents with young kids, but they were also older. Again, it was such an incredible experience, and I believe now it's so successful that it's being copied in a lot of places across the country. There's going to be another one in Las Vegas shortly, another one in Colorado, in the East Coast. There's a number of colleges, a number of places in California. And again, the whole experience was just incredible. Even at one point, they had India.com, which is a some kind of a .com outfit from India. They had camp or the whole festival site, and they were filming the whole festival, and their intent was to broadcast it, and they were saying they were going to be broadcasting it overseas to 60 million people. So it's not just a local affair. It's not just some business or or just some money making opportunity. But in my mind, anyway, I saw it as a great preaching opportunity, or at least offering different persons, innocent people, an opportunity to hear about Krishna consciousness. They're paying immediately to get in the door. They're surrounded by Hare Krishna sounds. Even some devotees, there were four women, I don't know what group they were with, Long Beach. They came up to the question and answer booth, and we started chanting. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, there's 30 people, there's 40 people there, and they're all dancing, and they're having a fantastic time. Then they get off the stage, and they start mingling through the crowd, through the whole festival side. There's a little Harinam Sankirtan party going through, and people are just, they're ecstatic about it. And again, taking books like anything. What is this all about? Again, yeah, we were just sitting there, and people would come up and, what are you guys doing? And what do you have there? Well, this is called the Bhagavad Gita. It's all about the holy festival. Take them with you. Find out what the origins of holy is. And they would take literatures and go away with a nice experience. Any other comments, Sir Nasper? You want to say something? Banubhatta was there also. Sachitanoy, he was distributing hundreds of books.
I have a little glimpse that actually this is like the beginning of a awareness of people all over the world. After you guys came back, you devotees came back, and we went to Surapal's place also. We saw a lot of different varieties, different of people. It was different than the ones in the Festival of Colors. More a little bit intellectual, educated, respectful. They all were sitting down, listening to you, chanting the Maha Mantra. Suraji was there with his, like, 40 or 50 neck beads, giving initiation. People were... When I saw that, I actually did appreciate it, and I like, and I had the idea that while we distribute books, also we got a few from you. I was putting all the neck beads here, and people would say, what's that? Can I get one of those? Sure. And then as we're giving them, we were showing the Maha Mantra how to chant, how to repeat, and they were chanting. So then as we're doing book distribution, suddenly we saw these girls from Long Beach or from Laguna Beach. They were like having Harinam, just walking around, and this is like our festival. So my impression was that this is like the, like in America, they always speak about the American dream. For the Sankirtan devotees, this was like the dream that you see thousands of people and you are authorized to be right there, right in the middle, giving them Srila Prabhupada's books. This was like the most amazing experience I ever had as far as book distribution. And I was so glad to see that Charu Prabhu is such a genius. Because I remember about 25, 27, 8 years ago, as we were doing Sankirtan, and he was always with Mother Bai Babi, over, you know, fundraising in different places with cookies. And I was wondering, you know, what's going to happen? What is in his mind? He was there in the rain and everything, and suddenly he developed such a beautiful place where thousands of Americans, students, and little by little, this is like building up more and more and more and more. So definitely, it's golden age. Lord Chaitanya's movement is taking over. He's taking shape. And we want more devotees and more devotees, because for 35,000 people, like 5 Sankirtan devotees is not enough. We need at least 20. At least 20, since we're authorized. I mean, for the organizer of the festival. Hare Krishna.
Hmm. since 1979. And he was actually talking to me, where are all the other festivals? How many are you going to? You think you can help me talk with Savas and get out of Los Angeles and go all over the country to all the color festivals and all of these festivals? So we're going to work on that, and there's many coming up. But I was so inspired myself that he was like a, seriously speaking, even though you don't know he's an old man, he was like a 20-year-old boy just experiencing something transcendentally brand new. And it was very inspiring.
You know, the whole inspiration was all about seeing the devotees talking and dealing with a captive crowd. They're all in Krishna's house, and they're just mingling around, and the devotees can freely chant Hare Krishna, give them prasadam, talk to them about Krishna consciousness, give them books. It was just amazing. Everybody was so receptive. It was just totally enlivening. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.